Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Mirror Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, James. Thank you for asking. Happy Wednesday and happy Fantasy Foot Mirror Day. This is a big one for us, James. I don't know if you realize this, but this is the 20th episode of our fourth season. So happy 420 episode, everybody.
Happy
Give yourselves a round of applause. If you've been here since day one, I want to meet you and shake your hand, because, oh my God, this has been across. I think we started this in 2020, and we missed a couple years, but, you know, doctor school and whatnot. But here we are. You know, if it's legal, blaze it. It's not legal where I am, so I will not be doing that. But I'm doing good. Work was busy today. It's been raining nonstop. I can't cut my grass, but I am ready to talk some football. We are starting our final divisional breakdown. So this episode, next episode, it's the AFC South, James. We're back home with our Colts in their home division. But first, I want to hear how you are doing tonight.
I'm doing really well, Stu. Thanks for asking. Hopefully, everybody listening here is doing okay with all the weather coming through the Midwest today. I know that a lot of people in Indiana are dealing with some pretty bad floods. So if that's you, we're thinking about you. We hope you're okay. Past that, Stu, as I was talking to you off air before we started recording, there was a question that our good friend Ethan had us ask on the show a few weeks ago, and it was, is there a possibility of mock drafting too much? And I think I said up to the point, there is a point where you can get lost in the sauce. I think I have reached that point where I've been mock drafting so much that I have gotten lost in the sauce. As I was showing you some graphs and spreadsheets that, you know, make me look like a mad scientist. So I am there. I am somewhere between seeing the Matrix and having my brain explode. So I think that's a good thing for fantasy advice. It might be a really bad thing, though, but I think we're going to be fine today. I think there's some really good stuff to talk about today with the Jaguars and the Texans. Two teams that, on like first glance, look like that giant mound of Triceratops poop in Jurassic Park. But if you just put on a glove and stick your fingers in there, up to the elbow, I think there's some good stuff to find. But before we do that, Stu, what are you drinking this evening?
Before I get into that, I really thought that you were going to make a reference to Jurassic Park 3 where they find like the satellite phone or something.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and I was going to be like, that's the wrong dinosaur. But no, tonight I am highlighting from Upland Brewing in Bloomington, Indiana, the Bad Elmer's Porter. This is a year-round variant that they have over at Upland. Upland's quite nice. I went there quite a few times throughout optometry school, and this is in honor of one of my patients today who is leaving to go to IU to study neuroscience. So you would think that with all the flooding across Indiana and the shelter-in-place that we were ordered this afternoon that my patients would not come in. Everybody came into their appointments.
Oh, nice.
I was a little surprised, but, you know, Bloomington, go IU, Hoosiers, whatever, drinking yeah. The Bad Elmer's Porter. James, what are you drinking tonight?
All right, so on my way home today, I stopped at Benny's and was eager to get some new stuff, and I saw this beer sitting in the fridge, and it had a word that I didn't know, so obviously, if there's something I don't know, I have to get it and learn about it. So, from Art History Brewing in Geneva, Illinois, I am drinking tonight the Krausen, fully Krausened American Lager. So, I did learn, for all of you good people, what Krausen means, or at least what the verb Krausen means. It is German, and it is a traditional German brewing technique. So, what Krausen, the noun, is when you are fermenting your beer, When it is at its peak moment of fermentation, which means the sugars are being eaten by the yeast and being turned into alcohol, there is a big, thick head on top of the beer, which when I homebrew, I usually can't see it because I'm using buckets. But if you use like the see-through plastic or glass ones, you can see them. But that is a Krausen in German, that head. So in order to Krausen beer, the verb, what you do is you take some of that actively fermenting wort. That's what beer is called when it's not beer yet. It's in that fermenting state. You take that actively fermenting wort with the big Krausen head on top of it, and you put it into finished or nearly finished beer to have it kind of institute this second fermentation stage in the finished beer. And what it does is it creates natural carbonation, and that natural carbonation is going to be usually a lot smoother than, usually the other kind of carbonation is also natural. It's just in a different way. It's going to be a smoother carbonation, but also it's going to kind of smooth out a lot of the flavors. So I haven't tried this yet, and I'm sure I've tried Krausened beers before. I just didn't know it, but it's a very German thing to do with beer. Make your flavors more like uniform. So that is what this is. And this is a Krausened American lager. So American lager style, brewed with this Krausen technique. So I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to have us open these bad boys in 3, 2, 1. And let's see how this looks. We're getting some nice ASMR here, I think.
That's good. It's an important part of the show.
Yeah. We are, among other things, an ASMR podcast, and it's a very it's a very light color. It's somewhere between straw and like gold. I don't know. I'm going to stop talking about colors. Stu, do we have any news to talk about? Do we?
There's always the good old injury news. I saw Egbuka went down with a toe injury. Puka left practice early yesterday, but it's hard to say whether any of these are going to take, you know, huge fantasy precedence. I will say the Lions center, something with his wrist, and he's going to be out half the season. So Jahmyr Gibbs, us fellows that are going to get Jahmyr Gibbs in the first round, need to watch out for things like that. I don't know of any other crazy. Kyler Murray is definitely going to be the starter. That was announced, I think it was yesterday. So Justin Jefferson gets spared having to deal with JJ McCarthy.
And his draft stock flies up, right? Is he back to being a first rounder?
Probably in most leagues. I would still feel very hesitant about taking him myself. So
it definitely makes it at least justifiable now. Whereas with JJ McCarthy, I don't think it was.
Sure. Let's see. Luther Burden, everyone's picked to be a breakout star this season. It was a groin injury, I think, and he's going to miss a good chunk of the preseason. Mm-hmm. Should be okay to start.
I think also, that's not football related, but I have two different pairs of sandals underneath me right now, or at least I did. Indy has been coming over, getting under my desk, and taking them one at a time and taking them to the other side of the room and has been chewing on them. So two of my four are now gone. He looks like he's really digging into this one, so I guess I'm probably going to lose that. But let's go ahead and talk about our first team today. We're going to start with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So last year, we saw, would you call it a breakout season for Trevor Lawrence? Can you really have a breakout with being in the league for as long as he was or has been? Either way, Trevor Lawrence kind of started to look like the player he was billed as when he came out of the draft in, what was that, 2021?
Something like that. It was a while ago. I mean, you can have a breakout at age 25. I think that's allowed.
Yeah. But we've been kind of waiting for him to show us what he showed everyone at Clemson. And last year, I still don't think he did, but he got a lot closer. As close as you can with that version of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And now it seems like his personal trajectory is back to going up. So let's just start with Trevor Lawrence. I'm currently seeing him as the QB9, seeing him go in the sixth round, kind of the last of what I would think is like the reliable quarterbacks. After that, you kind of get into some quarterbacks who I definitely still want. Your Patrick Mahomes, your Caleb Williams, your Matt Stafford, your Brock Purdy, guys who have shown us time and time again that they're elite, but there are question marks about them. I don't think there's a big question mark about Trevor Lawrence this year about how he can produce, but I think his ceiling is probably a bit lower than those guys, unless something crazy in his game happens. But Trevor Lawrence, a guy who I would timidly target. I don't know if he's someone who I am going to go out of my way to go get, but if there is a point in, I don't think I'd take him in the sixth. I'd probably look at him in like the eighth. If he falls to me there, I would be happy to pick him up. Stu, what do you think about T-Law?
I'm in a similar boat as you. I think the sixth round is a little bit too pricey for me, especially when you can get someone like Caleb Williams around the same area. And I would honestly prefer Caleb Williams to Trevor. Still is a very good prospect. I think there are heights that he is yet to attain, which is kind of, it's not crazy to say after his season last year, but I still think there is more in his game. I think there is more to be had in the Jaguars as a whole. And we're going to talk about the absolute plethora of receiving options he has to work with. There's going to be open receivers across the field, and he should be able to take care of them. So I am not hesitantly or tepidly pursuing him. I'm pursuing him a good amount in mocks. I do like him at his current price. If you can get him in the seventh or the eighth, that's even better. But yeah, I have no problem with Trevor Lawrence. He is mobile to a certain extent. He does know how to slide as long as certain Texans linebackers don't launch themselves at his face. And you can get some good fantasy value from any sort of mobile quarterback. He's going to be playing against teams like the Colts, teams like the Titans that may not have fantastic defenses, although you do have to watch out for those two Texan weeks. That Texan defense is stout.
Scary.
Great opportunity in 2026. Let's move over to start talking about his weapons, James. And I think there's more intrigue in the pass catchers. We'll get to talking about the running backs, Bashaul Tutin and the new Chris Rodriguez. But let's start with who we thought was the guy coming out of LSU. He was, you know, an amazing rookie season, fell flat on his face in year two. Talk to me about Brian Thomas Jr., James.
Oh, geez. What can you say about Brian Thomas? At the end of the 2024 season, it looked like he was going to be the next big thing. He was taken, I want to say, late in first rounds last year. In some cases, he ducked into the second. But Brian Thomas looked like he was going to be a reliable wide receiver one, looked like who he was going to perform on the level, maybe not of like a Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson, but maybe more like a low-end Nico Collins. And that's where he was basically being drafted. He was interchangeable with Nico Collins last year. And he finished the season, I want to say, as the wide receiver 44. Not good. Early in the season, it became apparent that when he could get off his defenders, he struggled with the easy stuff. He couldn't catch the ball. Like, wide-open passes were bouncing off his pads. So, and it really didn't get much better over the course of the season. I think he had one game over the course of the last season where he had more than 10 PPR points, and like, that's it. It was pretty depressing. He is still, just because of what he did in 2024, he's still being drafted in the middle rounds. I'm seeing him here as the wide receiver 34 going into the seventh round. But he's basically being taken interchangeably with two other receivers in Jacksonville, Parker Washington and Jacoby Myers. Parker Washington, I'm currently seeing as the wide receiver 32. He flashed at moments last year. He's also not someone who I'm looking at other than maybe as a ceiling play, because that's kind of how I felt he played last year. The guy I would more rather target is Jacoby Myers. Came over in a trade midseason last year and immediately looked like he was at home in this offense. Became Trevor Lawrence's favorite target overnight. But for some reason, I'm seeing him in rankings as the third receiver here, as wide receiver 44. I would take Jacoby Myers over these other two any day. He's a guy who I am targeting in middle rounds. Round 7 and 8 are right where I like to see him. Because, as we have said about Jacoby Myers, once he got into this offense, he became steamed broccoli again. We called him steamed broccoli last year. He's not a guy you like drafting, but he's a guy who's good for you to draft. And that's what Jacoby Myers feels like again. You may have those reservations, but I think he's still steamed broccoli. I think he is still a guy who you can feel good about. But there is a fourth receiver here, and it's not either of the rookies they drafted, Josh Cameron out of Baylor or CJ Williams out of Stanford. It's Travis Hunter. And Stu, I noticed you didn't really talk about him when you handed it over to me, so I'm going to throw it back to you. Last year, I was fairly certain that there was no fantasy value to Travis Hunter. I think I said as much on the show. And I thought when you said you were targeting him that you were like doing a smoke screen and like trying to throw me off so that I would want Jacoby, or that I would want Travis Hunter. I would like you to face the music on this and talk about Travis
Hunter. Face the music, my... Okay, I'm not going to curse live on air. Don't rile me up. Don't do it. The breakout was happening. Eight for 14 against the Rams. 101 yards and a touchdown. We were there
in mid-October. Is one game a breakout, though?
I don't care, man. If you immediately tear your knee ligament in practices following that week... We don't know what was going to happen, but it was happening. I believe that it was happening. If you want me to face the music now and be like, oh, you know, he doesn't have any fantasy value going into 2026, cool. He has no fantasy value going into 2026. He is the ultimate landmine. I generally mock on ESPN because that's where most of my leagues are. He's going in the seventh or eighth round consistently.
And really? He's all being drafted?
I'm not even... Well, I mean, it's... auto drafts at that point in mock drafts generally on that platform, but I mean, people need to watch out for this. Like, you have to actively look and see that Travis Hunter is there in their whatever, however they calculate their ADP. He's there. He's going to be presented to you as a fantasy option. You need to not take him. So actively look for him to avoid him. There's no fantasy value to be had. There's too many mouths to feed in Jacksonville, and he's listed as a primary cornerback and a second string wide receiver right now. But, James, the breakout was happening, and I will go to my grave saying that. I was regretful that I traded him for R.J. Harvey last year, but that was before R.J. Harvey kind of got free reign against in place of J.K. Dobbins. Anyway, I don't know how I feel. Brian Thomas Jr.
You seem a little fired up.
You riled me up. You know how to do it, man. You needle me across the airwaves. Brian Thomas Jr., Parker Washington, Jacoby Myers. Maybe one of these guys is going to hit and be super helpful. Maybe two, probably not. Not all three. And personally, I think the player that is most likely to bust is, again, BTJ. I don't like him. I'm not pursuing him in redraft leagues. I want to see if he's even on Jacksonville at the end of the season, because he was a very popular trade target last year, and I just don't see it happening again I mean, we haven't even talked about Brenton Strange as another receiving target. I don't want BTJ on my teams in redraft. I just would rather avoid it. Jacoby Myers and Parker Washington, I think, are two sides of the same coin. They are both flex targets, but they are different in what you are imagining they're going to be. Jacoby Myers is steamed broccoli. We haven't put butter on him. There's no salt and pepper on him. He would be an incredibly safe flex target or a very safe bye week fill in wide receiver four, top of the bench sort of person. And I'm going to say the next part really, really quietly. I want Parker Washington everywhere.
Really?
Everywhere, James. I want him everywhere. Huh. In the last four of the last five seasons I have data from, Liam Cohen, slot wide receivers, 2021 Kentucky, Wandale Robinson, 102.6 receiving yards per game. 2022 with the LA Rams, Cooper Kupp, 22.4 fantasy points a game. 2024 in Tampa Bay, Chris Godwin, 19.7 fantasy points per game. That's a wide receiver two. In 2025, Jacksonville, the aforementioned Parker Washington, in eight post-bye games that were healthy, 17.5 fantasy points per game. Right now, you're getting him in round seven as the wide receiver 32. This guy is a value, and he needs to be treated as such, in my opinion. And you also need to not tell people, which is kind of ironic because I'm telling people right now. I'm putting it on a podcast right now, and I'm talking to one of my biggest fantasy rivals right now. So I bet the next time you do a little manual mock trying to imagine what everyone in the league is going to do, you're going to look at me a little bit differently when it comes to Parker Washington. I want him everywhere, personally.
I mean, you've been really good at talking me into things this year. You speak passionately, and I listen, Stu. So
are you still in on Xavier Worthy? Because I think I'm getting out on Xavier Worthy.
That is one where you never got me. I was never in on Xavier Worthy.
You said yourself, I'll go back, I'll pull up the receipts. You said I was talking you into it. You did never say that you were in on it, but
I might have just been nice on that one. There were other things where you were talking me into it, but that one I might have just been being nice.
Saving face now.
But you mentioned Brenton Strange, so let's go over to the tight ends. The Jaguars did draft two tight ends this year. From Texas A&M, they drafted, going to try my best with this, Nate Boerkircher. In the second round, they got him. He's more of a blocking tight end. But from South Carolina by way of Ball State, they got Tanner Koziol in the fourth round, or in the fifth round, who is a receiving tight end. He's got extremely reliable hands. What he, you know, lacks in route running, he makes crazy contested catches. I got the pleasure to watch him for several years at Ball State, so we will refer to him as Ball State Tanner Koziol, not South Carolina Tanner Koziol, because he is a Ball State Cardinal. But then, obviously, there's Brenton Strange, who has been there. He is currently listed as the tight end 18. Stu, talk to me about Brenton Strange. What do you like about this guy?
I mean, if he had a little bit less target competition, I think he would be talked about as an easy tight end one. Maybe not easy, but at least the bottom end of tight end ones. I like him. I like his skill set. It's just I don't think he's going to have enough teeth to be super fantasy relevant at this point. And it's being reflected in his ADP. He's down in the tight end 18 to 20 range. I don't think he's super draftable, period. Also, I'm pretty sure Tanner Koziol went to Houston after Ball State.
I might be thinking of somebody else who went to South Carolina. I didn't even put South Carolina or any other school in my notes here. I just put Ball State because that's the
because
only way
a,
I think of Tanner.
He's a Cardinal,
on.
Yeah.
He's a Cardinal.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Brenton Strange, while I like a lot about him and he's been fantasy relevant in the past, I'm going to have to see it on waivers and try to get him in week one or week two once I see how this Jacksonville Jaguars offense is going to be run. Because we have another big question mark, James. And that's the running backs. Gone is Travis Etienne Jr. over to the Saints. So now, second-year player Bashaul Tootin is the heir apparent question mark and new signee from the Washington Commanders is Chris Rodriguez Jr. I literally went through the last three names of the Washington teams in my head, and I told myself, don't say the wrong name. I was like, is it the Redskins? Is it the football team? It's the Commanders.
Okay. It is the Commanders.
But Bashaul Tuten, another popular breakout candidate, but a little more risky here. 83 carries, 307 yards, 5 touchdowns. That's an average of 3.7 yards per carry. Of course, he did not get the free reign that he's going to get this year. So he's right now going in drafts as the RB25, round 5. I've even seen him as high as round 4. There are certain locations where I like him in this range, but it is a little bit of a risk, James. Are you in or out on I really wish he would go by King Tut. Like, just that's the nickname, man. Just go with King Tut. But how do you feel about Tuten?
I'm really excited about Bashaul Tuten, actually. He's currently going as the RB25 in PPR, and I think that's disrespectful. I think that he could be, by the end of the season, valued. I don't think he's going to hit the RB1 territory, but I think he's got a good chance to be mid to high RB2. Like, I probably see like RB14 as his max out, but I think he's got so much potential this season. We did see him play second fiddle to Travis Etienne, as we now refer to him as, because that is how his name is pronounced. Second fiddle to Travis Etienne last season, but he didn't perform poorly when he did get opportunities. You mentioned his yards per carry weren't stellar, but, you know, Travis Etienne's wasn't really either. He did a lot through the air. I think that giving the keys to the Ferrari, if you want to call the Jaguars a Ferrari, to Bashaul Tuten in the backfield, I think there is a lot of potential for him to do a lot here. And I think the yardage is going to tick up. I think that the receptions are going to tick up. I think that the touchdowns and goal line touches are going to tick up. And I'm really excited to see what he can do. I would draft him in the fourth round. I would. I think that we've seen this trend in running backs across the league in the last few years where we were kind of seeing the bell cow running back go extinct in front of our eyes. We now see it coming back, and Bashaul Tuten's stepping into one of those roles. I don't see Chris Rodriguez as really being a big threat to him, much less LaQuint Allen or Jamari Taylor. I am excited about Bashaul Tuten a lot. And we are almost at a half hour, and we've only talked about the Jaguars.
There's not much to talk about in Houston. Let's be really honest.
I don't think that's true at all.
Their offense is not exciting. They win the game with Kyahmi Fairbairn and defense.
That may be true. That may be true.
Thank you. I'm accurate and, you know, truthful.
That may be true, but there are definitely things to talk about in Houston. Not things we can talk about in less than 1 minute. But let's go ahead and flip to Houston here. The big thing, obviously, all of us know is Nico Collins going as a wide receiver 9 in PPR. Also, there is Jaden Higgins, who I pictured as a breakout guy last year as a rookie. Here in year 2, I would love to see him take another step. Seeing him going in the 9th round, he's someone who I am targeting, but a little bit later than that. I think he could go really almost to the end of drafts, like 13th round. You could probably maybe get him. I do like Jaden Higgins this year. Tank Dell is healthy-ish and practicing again. But Nico Collins is the guy we need to talk about, guy we need to know. He is in the body of an elite wide receiver, not in the offense of one. I would say most teams around the NFL he could go to, and we'd look at him as a top, I don't know, would you say top 5 wide receivers, Stu?
I don't know if I'd say 5, 8 for sure. but well, probably not five.
Either way,
he's good. I'm not knocking him. He's very, very good, and he'll be good for fantasy. It's just there's a lot of good receivers out there.
That
just
is true.
Talent alone.
But the only thing that could possibly keep Nico Collins from hitting his wide receiver nine billing is the quarterback C.J. Stroud. And last year, I gave C.J. Stroud the benefit of the doubt. I was like, he went into the season a little bit lower profile, but we knew who he was. We knew he was a very accurate passer. We knew he was an up-and-coming pocket passer in the NFL. And then last year, we saw him regress again. And I don't think people are playing around with C.J. Stroud anymore. I don't think people have any belief in this guy. I don't know what happened to him. In his rookie season, he looked so accurate, and he looked so dynamic, and he was able to find the open guy and make these pinpoint precision passes, and then it just went away. And I don't know what happened to him. Is, like, D'Amico Ryan just not putting quarterback coaches with him who can get him where he needs to go? Is it a D'Amico Ryan problem? Is it the fact that he's a defensive-minded head coach? That seems like an oversimplification of what might be going on, and I don't think that's true. But I'm not going to give C.J. Stroud the benefit of the doubt anymore. He looks kind of broken, and I think that what that means for Nico Collins and Jaden Higgins, he's going to need them to do the work. And we saw Nico Collins be able to do the work last year, and I think he's going to continue doing the work to keep himself relevant again. I think he is going to be a wide receiver one again. And Jaden Higgins, I think he's going to learn his place a little bit too, learn how to be that second option in a little bit more of a reliable way. And I think by the end of the season, Jaden Higgins is going to be fantasy relevant. I don't think Dalton Schultz is going to be. I don't think Marlon Klein, their second round pick out of Michigan, is going to be. I don't think Tank Dell is going to come back and be fantasy relevant again, except for probably in like week 9 or 10, he is going to have like a 70 yard touchdown and maybe two of them and make us think he's back. I don't think he is, but I said a lot there, Stu. What is your assessment of this situation?
If Tank Dell makes it back to the field, just good on that dude. I was really excited for him. It was 2 years ago, wasn't it? And
yeah, when they
after
had
that, after
Stephon
these
Diggs.
Devastating injuries, yes, and it was just an awful, awful knee injury. To have him be back would be just incredible to see, just as a person standpoint, just watching these guys try to be the best versions of themselves on the football field possible. Like, that's a long road. I don't know if I could be able to have the willpower to bring myself back. C.J. Stroud, no. Like, fantasy relevant, no. He's trying to be good enough to lead this team to win games, relying on defense and running the football. Nico Collins has the ability to be a top five fantasy wide receiver. He will not reach that. You need to be very aware that he's never played a full season in his entire career. That's over the last 5 years. Be prepared to lose him for a couple times. He's about as Jacoby Myers as a wide receiver one can be. He's just not an exciting pick at this point, but he's still going to go in the second or early third round of drafts. That's totally fine. Jaden Higgins, I think I'm a little bit more skeptical than you are, James, just because I don't think they need to rely on their throwing as much to win games, and I don't think they need to rely on C.J. Stroud as much for Jaden Higgins to be fantasy relevant by the end of the season. He is a very popular pick to become fantasy relevant, but I don't think he'll be a startable asset outside of a major injury to Nico Collins throughout this season. And then Tank Dell, fantasy-wise, no. Nothing at all. Dalton Schultz, I mean, 82 receptions for just under 800 yards is not anything to sniff at if you want to look at streaming conversations, but he should not be drafted. He's currently going as the tight end 21. Then the running backs. New look running back stable. So gone is the old Nick Chubb. In comes David Montgomery from the Detroit Lions. The knuckle to Jahmyr Gibbs' Sonic. now over here in Houston, running behind a revamped offensive line. They took Kalen Rutledge in the first round. That's a guard out of Georgia Tech. They also went and got in round four. Oh, gosh. He's from Oklahoma. He's another guard from
Fabechi
Oklahoma.
Nwaiwu.
Fabechi Nwaiwu. Something like that. I do apologize if I slaughtered that. Yep. That's a tough one.
We will learn his name when Chris Collinsworth says it, which...
Now here's a guy. David Montgomery currently going as the running back 23. There is relevance here. I think he might be even a little bit unsung just because he's not one of these flashy picks at RB2. He's just kind of an afterthought down around and just behind DeAndre Swift. But I think he's going to be very fantasy relevant this year, especially as they run to close out games. And then the other guy is now second year running back Woody Marks, who had the keys to the Lambo and then lost the keys to the Lambo. Now will just be a spelling sort of, you know, not fantasy relevant, currently going as the RB43 sort of option. I will not be drafting Woody Marks, you know, if my life was on the line. I would probably do it if my life was on the line, but David Montgomery, there's a real world where I could see it happen. But James, talk to me about the running backs.
Yeah, so David Montgomery, a guy who 2 years ago I would have been really excited to have. But I think it's important to note that 2025 was the first of the 7 years that David Montgomery had been in the NFL that he played a full 17-game season. There was a reason why he, and I say this kind of lightly, he didn't get run out of Detroit, but he kind of got run out of Detroit. It was clear that Jahmyr Gibbs had surpassed him and was able to handle the load that he and Montgomery were splitting, and David Montgomery just couldn't keep up anymore. When he got to Houston, they got him at a much cheaper price than I think that he would have gone for 2 years ago. And with him playing for 17 games for the first time last year, he had a career low in yardage. And he also had a career low in touches. I think that kind of tells us where he is in his career and what we can expect this year. I think he's going to go into the first week or first weeks of the season as the RB1. I don't think he's going to stay there. I don't expect him to play 17 games. I don't expect him to play the full season. I think a lot of people are looking at him as being a value. I'm not looking at him as being the value. I am 100% looking at Woody Marks as being the value.
Really?
Because okay. I am. Because where you can get Woody Marks versus what it takes for him to reach bell cow levels of touches, I'm not saying bell cow levels of production, I'm saying bell cow levels of carries, that is not as far away as people think it is. And he did flash at points during the season last year. He started getting real meaningful reps from Nick Chubb in like week four, and he flashed here and there, but when he flashed, he was able to show that he belonged. And I think over the course of the season, he is going to continue taking those steps forward. I'm not targeting David Montgomery. I am targeting Woody Marks. I think that there is kind of just something that people are overlooking. That there isn't really as many flaws in Woody Marks' game as people seem to think there is. Last year, we were taking him as a late-round flyer. And here, you can take him again, and there's so much more opportunity for him going into this season. I'm excited about Woody Marks.
Go off, King, because I'm definitely one of those overlooking people. I've got nothing for you.
Do we want to make the... How many more bets do we need? We got two more...
I only have two, I think, written down beyond our rookie wide receiver bet, which is its own separate thing. Of the parlay... Well, the five-part parlay, we have the Bowers and Gentee touchdowns receiving versus total interceptions by Raiders quarterbacks, as well as Devon Achane is worth a first round pick, i.e. he is the running back 8 or up in points per reception. Those are the two we've got.
So we could add something about Woody Marks, but I actually had another idea as we were talking today about another bet we could do.
Okay.
And that is, who is the first coach to be fired this year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we both know who it's going to be.
I mean, it's going to be Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, but, I mean, I would take Aaron Glenn.
But, well, we do disagree about Todd Bowles, though. Maybe it's just, will Todd Bowles be fired this season?
That basically just becomes the Baker Mayfield bet, though. I guess that's one, isn't it? Baker Mayfield is a quarterback one.
Yeah, and I'm a hard no and you're a hard yes. I guess that's too close to being the same thing. But let's say Woody Marks. I think he's going to beat... I think he's going to get into wide receiver 2 territory, or running back 2 territory. I think he's going to be a top 24.
You think Woody Marks is going to be a top 24 running back?
I do.
I'll flip and take that. I was going to say, this is a really boring bet, but if you want to do that,
I would feel more comfortable at RB 30, but I think he's going to be
RB
24.
You would. I bet you'd feel more comfortable if you dragged him back down a little bit.
I mean, I have made one really stupid bet this year, and that was betting on Omar Cooper before I saw what team drafted him.
Well,
I mean,
Lemon has not played at all. He's got this hamstring injury all through camp, so I'm not feeling very good either.
I guess that's true, but he got drafted by the Jets, man. Like, I thought with him being, like, not the highest profile guy, he would be drafted by a better team, but... The Jets? Really?
It's a tough one.
That's
a tough,
tough
one, fam.
All right. I think that's all we really got
to talk
about.
We have one more bet to go. We have one more to go. We'll need to think on that. Unless you want
to
do the head coach firing one.
But, well, if we just have it be Todd Bowles, then that's the same thing as the Baker bet. They're both tied to the same thing. So that doesn't really make sense. Unless there's someone else. Like... Maybe it's what week Aaron Glenn gets fired on. I don't know about that one either. Well, we'll have to think about it. We will revisit at a later date on this. We've only got one more divisional breakdown to go.
Sure,
Stu, hit us with your closing thoughts, my friend.
Closing thoughts. Reach out to us on socials. We are on Instagram. We are on X at FantasyFootBeer on both platforms. We do take beer requests and questions. I love questions. I want to answer your questions. You can do that on our website, fantasyfootbeer.com, or email us directly, fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. Also, if you want to sponsor us, that's where you want to go to. If you ever want to bring back the ad your ad can sound like, but a real ad, James has this great microphone. He's got this good voice. He's ready to use it.
Oh, yeah.
But, thank you for all the listens. Every single one of them, we do appreciate. Happy 420. Next week is the last divisional breakdown. We might do a mock draft episode. I haven't looked too closely at the schedule, but it's exciting stuff. We're getting really, really close. You guys need to be mocking right now. Don't go overboard or marry yourself to your singular strategy. Try to stay flexible. Take players that you don't often take. Like, maybe I'll mock later tonight and I'll take Woody Marks and see how I feel about it. I will probably not change my thoughts. But, James, why don't you take us home for the evening?
All right. Thank you all again for listening to another exciting episode of Fantasy Footbeer. We don't necessarily have anything going on the ad front, but talking last week and last weekend, there could be some special stuff coming up in the near future as far as... doing stuff with breweries go. So keep your eyes peeled for that. We may or may not have something going there. But, guys, it's exciting. We got one more divisional breakdown to go, or one more half divisional breakdown to go, I should say. One more episode before we are going full on draft strat pods. And we know that's where you really want us to be. You got to know stuff because you're drafting right now. Well, guess what? We have an entire summer's worth of cataloged podcasts for you to listen about the guys you need to know. we spare no expense in saying every name and talking about every guy. That's why we are in, what, mid-August now? Would you consider this mid-August or is it still
early? It's mid-August, yeah.
Oh my goodness, it's mid-August. August only has so many days, and we are in one of them. And your draft is coming up late August, early September. We are the people and the podcast who have your best interest in mind. So for all of us here at Fantasy Flip Beer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, for Andy the Dog, who did get a third one of my sandals, by the way. There's only one under my desk now. For Pixel the Cat, I'm James Kemp. He's Michael Stewart. Good night and good talking.